The game is on the line, and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99 footlong deal. That's right. Order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies. Ah, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants. Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax. Additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.
Talking about Severance, Season 2, Episode 7, entitled Jakai Bardo. And I haven't updated my list in a bit of top 10 episodes of television I've ever seen, but this probably is on that list now, Adam.
Oh, yeah. Top 5 for sure. Absolutely. And for a directorial debut, holy moly.
Unreal. If we had real newts, if we had the newts, dude, we would just say the word unreal different time or for like in different ways.
Yeah.
For 40 minutes.
Sure.
You know what that would be, Adam?
What would that be?
Unreal.
Unreal.
I assume the music's happening now.
Yeah, just call it out. You just call it out.
I love when calling out the music's fun. Because I know it's there, but it's like not in my ear. It's, you know, it's a fourth wall thing.
It's a fourth wall thing, and it's about to hit.
Oh, no, it wasn't happening. Damn it.
Now. Okay, so this episode, man.
Okay, so this episode, man. Okay.
God dang.
So this episode... we'll gush about it at the end, right? We'll gush about it throughout, but like as a overall thing, right? This episode is presented to us non-linearly. So
we
are sort of going back and forth between the present and the past. But I thought I'm actually going to recap it in chronological order for funsies.
Okay.
So obviously you'll get it. So this is what happened in the past. Gemma and Mark, both professors at Gons College, by the way, everyone on the internet was like, wait, Adam Scott's hot? You're like, yeah.
Have you ever watched Parks and Rec?
Party Down? Yeah, put a pin cap in his mouth. Give him a beard, you morons.
Yeah, give him a little stubble. He's a nice looking man. And he still looks like he did when Parks and Rec was airing. It's wild.
Yeah, it just kind of speaks to like, no, they're purposely making him look bad.
Yeah, right.
I wonder why. Is it because he's going through trauma on a daily/hourly/second-by-second basis?
Yeah, probably.
They meet at a blood drive run by Lumen and quickly hit it off. It's love at first blood draw.
Yeah.
And their relationship quickly evolves into a loving marriage. Gemma eventually becomes pregnant, which she subtly reveals to Devin and Rickon during a lunch, but then later suffers a miscarriage, which is sad.
Very sad.
During that lunch, we get to see why Devin might even like Rickon, because that's been like a pending question that the world / universe has, although I don't know. It doesn't seem like too straightforward, but it's more so than we've had previously.
Yeah.
We also get to see a bit of Devin and Gemma's relationship, which is really cute and great. Mm-hmm. And Devin was looking at her like, you're not drinking? What? And it was just, you know, fun and cute.
It was fun and cute until
what happened. So it was like a rom-com.
It was like a rom-com. There were parts of this episode that were shot the same way, and just like all the very soft lighting with a lovely bokeh and like the really happy scenes in their house. Like it felt so good. Every part of this episode felt so good. Even the stuff down in the severed floor, like it still felt like good. I don't know how to explain it. It was this positive. It was like a very positive episode, even though so much was going wrong.
Yeah, no, it was a positive episode full of defeat and sadness.
Yeah. It's, you know, towards the end there.
A lot of it.
And most of it. Yeah, you're right.
Sometime after the dinner party, Gemma and Mark sign up for a fertility treatment at a Lumen clinic.
Yeah.
But her three rounds of IVF are all unsuccessful. Lumen is everywhere.
Yeah, and it's now has your blood, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, by the way, like the clinic is the same set they'll later use for one of the underground rooms in the testing floor. That's another, and we're not even going to be able to get into all of it, but like the amount of Easter eggs, the amount of planning, the amount of like Gemma wearing during the testing stuff, wearing the clothes that were on the mannequins that they saw earlier in the season for like the Keir fam. Like there's just so many of those. I'm sure some that I haven't even been able to. That I definitely didn't see on my first go around. And that I bet even more that haven't been pointed out by the internet as of yet either. Like it's just such a meticulous, like, the whole show is meticulous, but like this episode specifically.
Yeah.
Was, it felt like layers, like onions have layers. Severance has layers.
It is so intentional. Every single thing they do is intentional. So even when something looks like it's an accident or looks like it shouldn't have happened that way or it could have gone another way, it's done for a reason. And I love that. It adds so much to think about. It adds so many theories, which I'm, again, on the fence about like reading into these theories. But I just, oh, I love it. I can't wait to rewatch the season again and like see the things that I didn't catch.
I can't wait to rewatch the show from the beginning.
Yeah, that that too. Sure. Yeah.
After visiting the clinic, Gemma brings or begins receiving ideographic cards in the mail, including one that is depicting Chikai Bardo, the name of the episode.
Mm.
The couple's failure, because they keep it happens and it's not happening to have a child puts a real strain on the marriage, and they ultimately decide to stop trying for a baby for the time being, which is incredibly sad.
Mark
then immerses himself in his work and one night declines an invitation from Gemma to join some of their friends for an outing. And later that night, the police arrive at his door to tell him that Gemma has died in a car accident. But I think the undertone here is like, okay, was it really a car accident? Taking into account the fact that in an earlier episode, Mark said that he saw her body. But was that just like, I don't know, a sleeping version of a severed Gemma? Who knows? And did Gemma volunteer for what's currently happening to her with, I'm sure the idea that like she'd be able to leave, like I'm assuming they didn't tell her up front exactly what was about to happen if that is the case. And that, you know, that she's completely imprisoned, but she was in a vulnerable mental state and it does seem as though it was like ripe for her to be taken advantage of by, you know, the evil Emperor Alliance of Lumen, who now has her blood and everything else. Like, but it seems like, I don't know, we might just be seeing a scene in the future where Cobell or where Helena is like, Gemma, what's up? You know what you should do? Come hang out with us, man.
Come hang out in this room.
And then never leave.
Yeah, this is a theory that I'd be interested to like, kind of like, theorize about on the internet is, you know, what made Gemma get into the situation that she's in right now?
Said
like, was it a hostage? Like, did they just take her and put her in a room and that was severed? Was she already severed? Like, you know, like that's because she was like, we don't know that she was severed in her and Mark's life, right? So she had to either make that conscious decision or she did it without knowledge.
I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, right, exactly right.
We then go into Lumen and see Gemma's journey. She lives as a patient on the testing floor, and that floor consists of a bunch of rooms whose names correspond to the MDR files. Each room kind of awakens in her as she gets severed into them, separate ennies that are made to endure incredibly unpleasant experiences that seem to be specifically manufactured to things that Gemma, the person, the OG Gemma finds unpleasant, like
sure.
a dentist appointment right. or airplane turbulence. And this is all
writing Christmas cards
with her left hand, not her dominant hand.
Yeah, right. Well, like, that's so specific.
It's gross. And this is usually engineered by Dr. Maurer, the aforementioned in previous episodes, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald Whistler.
Mm, yes.
And he acts out different roles in each room. And also, on a side note, is absolutely infatuated with Gemma, and I hate him.
Yeah, it's so he's so weird, man. He's so weird looking. And like he just got this very empty, deathly stare, and oh God, it's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to the show, right? Where like some shows take entire seasons or entire shows to like properly make you hate a character. This one did it for me, and I think the rest of the world in like 10, 15 minutes tops.
Yeah, right. And when he kept showing up too, like every single room was him in a different, like a different costume. Like, you know,
yeah. Where's the costume department here?
So weird.
What do goats have to do with? No, I'm just going to move on.
Yeah. I want, that's another one that I want to know about like so badly what the hell the goats are about.
They're making all these costumes out of goat fur, dude.
Yeah. And they're getting goat's milk for some reason.
Cause it's delicious. Question
and cheese.
No. Goat cheese for sure. Okay.
Goat cheese with honey. Ooh. Okay. Anyway.
Jesus. Okay. But yeah, you're right. Anyway, Gemma visits a handful of these rooms every day, always in a different outfit. And then Maurer interviews her about the memories or the feelings that she has that are lingering post her coming out of these rooms. And she has a nurse who manages her care. Her name is Cecily. We hate her too.
Yeah, weird. Was she the one that asked her the really strange question that actually like made me think about the answer myself? If you were caught in a landslide, would you be more afraid of suffocating or drowning?
Yeah,
that's terrifying to think about.
Just sort of feels like they're setting up a new room for where she drowns.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Meanwhile, MDR's activities are revealed to be monitored by another team who are their clones, question mark.
Yeah.
And they're working in like a control room overseen by Mr. Drummond, to whom Maurer reports. And this opened up for me like, okay, so they're watching them all the time, which we knew.
Yeah.
The way in which they're watching them is as creepy as imaginable.
Oh, it's so creepy.
And also though, they're not pushing them. Like Milkshake's job is to push them slightly to the point where, but like they're watching them all the time.
Oh,
they
what a
know
terrible
all
job.
The moments. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Are That's they severed the too?
Who?
The people watching the MDR department. Yeah,
probably.
everyone's severed.
Is Mr. Drummond severed? Question mark.
Psh, who knows, man, at this point. Psh.
Not me specifically, and I'd like to. Drummond notes that Maurer's tests are on Gemma are proving that the severance chips work, which obviously we knew that already. But to be fair, I think they're testing their limits. That like this is a limit test that Gemma is doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but it says though they're working so well that he'll probably have to say goodbye to Gemma soon, right after Mark finishes the Cold Harbor MDR file, which as we recall is stuck at 96%. Because Mark keeps having nosebleeds and going nuts.
Yeah, yeah. Among other things. Another thing that happened that was like very gutting was when she entered one of the rooms, I think it was the dentist's room, and she said, "Can I just like get a break just for a little while?" And he said, "It's been 6 weeks." And she said, "I was just here." Like,
right.
Because that's all she knows. But like the way she said it was so draining and so empty.
Right. The only life that dentist Gemma knows is dentist.
Yeah, is getting a root canal every day. It seems
and as
like.
We've like previously said, right, these severed folks are like mind babies.
Yeah.
They've not been alive for very long. So Gemma in one room is just a dentist mind baby.
Yeah.
That's tragic as heck.
I know. That's... Ugh, God.
Gemma is then told by Maurer that Mark has remarried and had a daughter, which is not the case.
God, that is so... Can you imagine being her just like so gutted over that? Oh my.
Yeah, but she's just like, nah, you're lying. You're a liar.
I don't believe you.
And Maurer's like, no, man, he's moved on.
Yeah.
And he's gone. And me and you should like go get coffee in the dentist room.
That's weird. That's so weird.
And then she does something that made me shout out loud in a positive fashion, which is hit him in the head with a chair.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
She also steals his key card and rushes through the hallway until she finds the elevator.
The elusive elevator.
But upon ascending out of the export hall, Gemma turns into Miss Casey again. And that one is as oblivious as any of her innies.
Yeah.
And Milkshake then meets her panting like he's had to run here with his bike jacket still on.
Sure.
And is just like, oh, no, you're not supposed to be here. Just go back there.
Yeah.
She's like, for real? And he's like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Now I have a question.
Okay.
Tell me what you think. Is the Miss Casey Gemma, obviously she's severed, right? Is the testing floor Gemma another layer of severance? And it's a double severance. And they just chose to give her specific memories. And this is why they're
specific real life memories, you mean?
Yes, like Mark. Like she knows of Mark, obviously. But like what else does she know? The only thing that we know that she understands from the outside world is that she's married to Mark.
Yeah, that's a good question. Is regular non-dentist, non-airplane testing floor Gemma actually Gemma, or a slightly modified Gemma? That's a great question, and we don't know.
Yeah, because she came up from the testing floor to the severed floor. She had, you know, the severance effect happened, and then she went back down. Like, we didn't see her go back up again. Like, you know, I'm just curious if each level truly is another version of a severed person.
I mean, we do see Gemma go back down and break down in tears with Cecily waiting for her as she comes out of the elevator. So, like,
right.
A part of me thinks that that is actual gaslit, manipulated,
Gemma,
beaten down, trauma, full of trauma version of Gemma, which is... in a show full of tragedy.
Yeah.
Up there.
Yeah. I'm preparing myself for that to not actually be the Audi Gemma, and that's just another version of Gemma. You know? Like, how far can this go? And that's why they're my theory was, is that's why they were testing so much, is they were trying to see if they could break that level of severance.
Or
each door was a different severed thing too.
Yeah, I mean, it could also just be limit testing, like how many times can we sever, how many different ways can we sever with unpleasant experiences?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Until we just break somebody.
Oof.
And that
sucks. I have a bad feeling about Gemma. I have a bad feeling about Gemma this season.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I have a bad feeling, not about this. See, her life is awful.
Yeah, it's not great.
We then port to the present. Chronologically, and Mark is still unconscious after his seizure, and Raghavi reveals to Devin, who is freaking out, that Gemma is alive, and also Mark decided to do the reintegration process in order to find her. It is at this moment that, while freaking out, Devin recalls the Any cabin where she gave birth to her daughter, and wonders if it's like possible to reawaken Mark there. And that brings up, like, you know, what is Lumen's actual goal? Is it a dual, like, how many forks are there to this goal? Is it, you know, we're trying to make it so that every bad thing anyone would ever have to go through, they don't have to remember?
Yeah.
Or
interesting.
On the other side of that spectrum, are they just trying to create a world full of Lumen slaves?
I think it's both. It's sold to you as, oh, live a happier life and get rid of the things you hate. But it's also the way for them to control them.
Devin then says, like, oh my God, we should call Cobell because she has access to the cabin, which sounds like it's actually something that's probably going to happen just because we haven't seen Cobell in a while and it's a way for her to get back into the story. And then Ragabi is like, no, what? What are you talking about? Don't do that.
Don't call her. She bad.
And then Ragabi's like, if you're going to do that, I'm going to go. Which did feel like a narrative push because we need Cobell back and it doesn't make sense while Ragabi is around for Cobell to be back.
Right. But now we know with Cobell's meeting with Helena that she's terrified. Like, that was the last time we saw her, is her running back to her car.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see just like how invested Cobell is, like how if Cobell has reached a point where she's so put off, so betrayed by Lumen that she's willing to help, or if, like, you know, they're at the Annie cabin and they're doing all the stuff, and then at the end Cobell is like standing there at the front door while Mark and Devin are taken away by Lumen security guards, and is like, sorry, like, for the cause. And then Milkshake gets fired, and then Cobell gets back the severed floor. Like, she sees it as an opportunity to just get the floor back once she learns that Mark is severed. Like, I don't know. That seems more likely than Cobell being like, yeah, F them, I'm going to be helpful. And then Mark wakes up and is recalling memories of Gemma as the episode ends. And I don't know, like, again, the way we started off this episode, about this episode, it's one of the best television episodes ever, and
it's great.
I put it up there with the one or two episodes that we discussed back in season four of Succession. I put it up there with, like, the Walking Dead pilot. I put it up there with my favorite episodes of The West Wing, which I think are up there, but people haven't mainly seen. But I also put it, like, there are just some, well, yeah, of course, those are up there episodes for television.
Yeah.
Ones that don't even have people who are like, well, I don't know, like, ones that aren't iffy. And this one was so good. In a season that has been incredible, for them to seven episodes in,
right,
and with three, right, to go?
Yeah. I don't even, it's either nine or 10 episodes.
There's no way in heck that episode eight is going to be better than this. If it is, then
they're doing
what even is that?
I thought the same thing. I'm like, we're just past halfway of this season. And we're getting penultimate episode, finale episode quality. And with, like, a lot, we're getting a lot of questions answered too in this episode. Like, I wanted so badly to know Mark and Gemma's relationship prior to Severance. And we got it finally. So that was like a nice payoff. But it with every question that's answered, we get seven more questions we need answered. And that's like the beauty of the show. And it keeps you engaged. And I love it so much.
Yeah, man. I mean, I just think I'm just very grateful that, you know, I've been looking forward to Thursdays for 7 weeks now.
Yeah.
And telling people, I forgot, by the way, I'm going to go backwards, and like the best Game of Thrones episodes are in there too. Anyway, I'm just grateful that it's this good because
man,
it doesn't have to be. And it is.
I'm just grateful that we are getting this type of quality in TV shows, regardless of whatever network that they're on. People are investing the time. They're honing their craft as actors and crew and making something that's truly unique and different and exciting and cool, and everyone's here for it. And
I got questions for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Was this episode better than Ozymandias?
I was thinking about this too, because I saw this on the internet, these two being compared. And that's tough, because that episode wrapped up an entire show. Like, that wrapped up one of the best shows that ever aired on TV. I don't, you may have never seen it or cared about it, but it was one of those shows that was so top tier, and everyone, it, all the theories on that one throughout each season were through the roof as well. I think quality-wise, I believe that this beat it out in terms of cinematography, writing, kind of the story that was presented. But with Breaking Bad, that wrapped up the whole culmination of everything that the, what is it, six seasons led to. And so much happened, and everything got answered. So I don't think it beat it on that front, but I think stylistically it was worlds better.
By the way, I'll also throw in like International Assassin of the Leftovers and sure. Kixio, Westworld. But like, this is now getting to a point where we have to have a real conversation of like, is this at the end of Severance? Is it going to be better than Breaking Bad? Is it going to be better than The Bear? Is it going to be better than The Sopranos? Is it going to be better than Lost? Is it going to be better than...
I don't think it's fair to compare them.
It's apples to ononos to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all these shows you're rattling them off. They all stand on their own, and to compare them is really, really difficult because they all reach different levels that make themselves shine. Compare them, which one is better? You know,
I'm saying for you though, like when you're asked.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting, especially after season three, assuming that that's the last one of Severance. Like when you're asked what your favorite show is.
Sure.
Is Severance on its way to being that answer?
I think that it is up there. Yeah, absolutely. As the rate that we're going right now. Are you kidding? Yeah, I think so. And the fact that it's going out on a shorter run, kind of doing a complete story with not a lot of fill is intriguing as well. But I think it's tough. I think if you said to me, pick your favorite show and it's between Breaking Bad or Severance, I would not be able to do it. Obviously, I can't say that right now because Severance isn't done. But I just think that they're both so different, and they're both on the same level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite shows are Game of Thrones,
yeah,
The West Wing, Succession.
Sure.
Like, those are top three, probably. And at the clip that Severance is going, it is topping all three of those at the moment. Like, I would argue Game of Thrones had down seasons, obviously.
Sure.
So did The West Wing once Sorkin left. And obviously this is going to apply right for a lot of people. The question is like, is Severance better than Sopranos, The Wire, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, MASH? Like, you know, the all time great ideas of shows. And I think it's going to be a conversation of like even bringing comedies, right? Some of my favorite comedies, Parks and Recreation, bad first season. The Office, bad first season.
Sure.
There are a lot of caveats people have to give when talking about their favorite shows. And which is why, by the way, that Succession is so good, because literally there are no caveats to that show and why it's up there.
Went in, yeah.
I would just argue that the peaks of like Game of Thrones is higher. But right now, if they do it, three seasons and it's just always this, which is asking a lot, but like, sure. So far they have I have no reason to think otherwise. What are you gonna do? This is perfect television on a weekly basis.
I know, it's wild, man. And it's wild that it's this good
for people who aren't watching it.
I feel bad for people who didn't give it a try, and sadly one of those is my father. He started to watch it and he just like kind of fell off of it a little bit after the first or second episode. And I'm like, yeah, please, for your own sake, just watch through and I promise you'll keep going. You'll want to keep going. And the same happened to me too. Like, and you and I talked about this when I first started watching Severance. I like watched the first episode, watched the second episode, and then I just kind of fell off. And then I was like, Ryan really loves this show. I gotta try it again. And it just took off full steam for me. So I give people the benefit of the doubt when they say, oh, I don't, first episode slow, second episode slow. Just like get through it. you know, if you can get through it, the payoff is so good.
And listen, like, I know there are people listening to this who just listened to us for like the past 10 minutes and are like mentally pushing back on all of that and being like, guys, it's not done. I know you just like are talking about a masterpiece of an episode, which if you want to call it that, which I do, by the way, obviously we've been talking, but like, guys, like you're kind of like over the rainbow right now and let it breathe. Why does it have to be this kind of conversation? And the only thing I'll retort to that is like, those are all solid points, but you don't have this kind of conversation after anything, after every episode goes to black.
Right.
And the moment it did, I was like, well, I mean, what the fuck? Like,
is it Thursday yet?
Jesus, what the fuck was that? Like, a first-time director? Get out of your ass! Like,
yeah, and I'm immediately going to, like, social media and seeing, I want to just see people's reactions. And what show does that? Not many shows do that.
No, absolutely not. And by the way, like, this is sort of also in the same category of Succession, which is not a lot of people are watching this right now, right? Like,
yeah,
because it's on Apple TV and nobody has Apple TV. And
man, they should.
They should only for this. Like, I think this is going to go down. Unless they like lose their creator or lose Ben Stiller for season 3, which is viable. And we might be talking about this show as like the largest letdown in television history. And like, but
that would,
that's
be
where we are right now. There's so no in the middle.
Yeah, right.
There
right.
is only, this is the best show ever made or biggest letdown in television history. And that is rare air to be in. And it's just pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. And their marketing team has just been absolutely killing it this season. And I think it's paying off too in that respect. Also, before I forget, another episode that stands up there as like one of the best episodes of all time is Walking Dead Pilot, dude, season 1.
I said that.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. Dude, that's that one stays
with me.
That is
a really good episode.
Oh, it stays with me, dude.
What's that episode from Better Call Saul people bring up all the time?
Gosh.
Whatever it is. But yeah. Like
sure.
And by the way, like I need to watch Shogun. And like and oh, maybe yeah, that's in there too.
That's right.
But again, like, you know, there are also a lot of shows where like the first season of White Lotus. Great.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Is it this level though?
No.
No, I don't think
it's
it is.
Not.
I don't think it's in the same conversation.
I don't think many things are. And there are shows. There's just not a lot of shows that are almost unanimously loved. And if you hate them, you're just immediately strewn to the side as a hater.
Sure.
And, but like, again, it all comes with caveats, right? Like, I need to say every time I like someone's like, should I watch Game of Thrones? Be like, yes, absolutely. Hmm. You should watch seasons 1 through 4. It's some of the best television ever put to screen. Seasons 5 and 6, also pretty good. Seasons 7 and 8, oh, that's tough. Like, you know, and I'm not afraid, which is good. Like, I'm not afraid to be let down.
To take a stand.
Keep going.
Everybody.
Yep.
Come take my hand.
Yeah, keep going.
We'll walk this field together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Yeah.
Let you know that you're not alone.
Okay.
Holler if you feel like you went down the same road.
Thank you for joining us here talking about Severance, one of the best episodes of television that ever happened. And one of the best podcast episodes that have ever happened just based on Adam's previous song.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And we would like to ask you and invite you to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For $1 or more a month, you can be a subscriber, support us, get stuff early, ad-free, some Patreon exclusives here and there, and we are starting to ramp that up, so get excited for that. But you also get your name read out at the end of the episode, so that's pretty cool. So we'd like to thank our current patrons: Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Fuck You Mr. Milchick, Chris Wood, Brent Kinn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Buffalo Pizzle, C Fritz, and Cat's Pajamas 10. And thank you, Brent Kinn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 tier patrons. We appreciate you, and we appreciate all of you. It's pretty chill that we have fans. And please follow us on all of the socials at the HBO Boys Pod or at the HBO Boys Podcast on Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok. And be sure to subscribe and follow us on wherever you get your podcast to follow along week to week while we finish up Severance and start on another show.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Probably The Last of Us, right? That's like the next big one coming out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely The Last of Us, actually, yeah.
The Righteous Gemstones, but I don't think we will do a thing on
no,
that.
No, we'll probably do an end of season thing for that.
Yeah, because that's another great, fun, that's a fun show.
Well, yeah, and it's also coming to an end.
Yeah, yeah, this is it. They're done.
Anyway, this has been chill, so.
This has been chill. We'll see you next week, and we'll actually be on a normal weekly cadence here.
Oh, that'd
be chill. What are your theories on episode 8 of Severance? Let us know. Let us know on the socials, and we'll talk about it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I thought you were asking me. I was like, dude, I don't even know.
I mean, you know what, Ryan? Go ahead. Put it on the socials.
Oh, no, I'll be fine. I do a podcast about it.
Yeah, you can just talk to us here about it.
Talk us? I'll talk to you.
Talk to all of us here in podcast land.
Is podcast land a severed room? Am I? Adam, be honest with me. Am I a severed baby? You're a dick.
's program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.